up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule, American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Mr. Lightning himself, Scott Reynolds, wearing his Lightning jersey. I don't think grown men should ever wear jerseys. That's just my opinion. And
it's a Victor Hedman jersey.
Obscure jersey at that, is it?
What?
I don't know.
Would it be worse if he had his name on the back?
Kidding me?
Yeah.
It'd be worse if he had his name on the back, right?
Scott Hedman on there, right? Don't mess with Thor, the god of thunder, all right?
I don't understand anything you're talking about. We're also here with Stephen Stamkos.
Hello.
From Pewter Report, Mr. Trevor Sikkema. If you haven't seen him.
I'll be back for the playoffs. Don't worry, folks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Another lower leg injury. Anyway, all right, guys, let's talk about the Lightning now. I mean, they're entering, you got two games left. I'm just kidding.
People have already turned off.
People's heads explode. Just in that 3 seconds, people were cringing and their blood pressure was boiling. But anyway, guys, we're three weeks.
I don't give a damn about hockey growing up in Florida. It's just stupid. I'm playing a game on
Uncle Stan's
ice.
From Florida?
Huh?
Uncle Stan's from Florida?
No, he's from up north.
I was
going to
say.
And they moved
I don't
down
know.
Here, I think.
The hell you say about up there in the panhandle?
He's been down here.
Okay, I believe Uncle Stan's from
the
panhandle.
We played with stickball. We didn't have money for bats and all that. We just found a stick and hit the ball.
These rocks. We went down to the rail yard road and hit rocks with sticks. Anyway, all right, so Uncle Stan, we get it. Uncle Stan's not a Lightning fan. Scott Reynolds is.
Yes.
Trevor Sikkema is.
Sorry, Uncle Stan.
And I'm neutral. I mean, I'll watch him when the playoffs start. But in the meantime, my focus is on football, gentlemen, because it never quits year-round. We're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft.
That's right.
And we're getting to
Thank
that
God.
Point. I know. See, Trevor doesn't understand this. Scott, you've been doing this 25 years.
I don't understand this.
I've been
this.
Full-time for 8 seasons now. I mean, season ended December 31st, right? It
yep.
was New Year's
yep.
Eve.
Right. Yep.
Here we are in April, and that's just been the debate and the topic and all the questions in the Monday mailbag. And
it hasn't slowed down either. Like, the discussion just keeps
rolling
January from the East-West Shrine. You know, we're there. We're at the Senior Bowl. We're at the Combine.
Yep.
We've made it to some pro days. It just continues. It starts. And let's face it, for the Buccaneers, the last couple of years, with the exception of 2016, the draft conversation started early,
mm-hmm.
like November, December, sometimes even October,
yeah.
depending on the team's record. So this is a long time coming. And I tell you, there's a lot of excitement because of who could fall to the Buccaneers at number 7.
But we're to that point now where we're us as we, is it us or we as
riders?
We as riders. We're
the
wore
writers.
Out from it, right? I mean, maybe not Trevor because he's young and,
no,
and,
dude,
and he does like 7 podcasts a week.
I've been doing a...
But you're not wore out yet? You're not ready for it just to be
oh,
here?
Oh, my God, yeah. 100%. I do that draft podcast 5 days a week.
You should have been, been here during the Winston year because not only...
Oh, there's nothing
was the
to
number
talk
one
about.
Draft pick. Yeah. There was
there's
the debate.
No, to talk about.
No, the debate was the Mariota Winston thing,
yeah,
and it was out of control.
Huh.
Our boards, our traffic, and remember that was also the year they pushed the draft back into May.
Yeah,
remember
I
that
think it was like right at the end of April.
So
yeah.
it stretched it out even longer. You know what I mean? Even a little bit longer, and we just didn't think
the
it
draft
was ever going
to be
end.
On my birthday. My birthday is April 23rd.
Right,
and. That was always the crappy thing is, I mean, it was great when I was a kid because that would be like the ultimate present from the NFL is I would go to my basement and watch 2 days because this is back when the draft was on Saturday and Sunday all day.
What's a basement?
We had
no
those
idea.
Up north.
They had to get out of the way of tornadoes.
What's north?
North is a state that's above Florida, any state that's north.
To me, and being from Plant City, north would be
Florida?
Dade City.
And Florida's
Dade
the
City?
South.
Dade
is
City's
said?
North when you're from Pinecrest.
Yeah, well, we're close to Dade City right now, but... I'd go in the basement and watch 2 days of the draft, and I used to love it because that's just what I wanted to do on my birthday. But as it, you know, as I started in this field, the draft would fall on my birthday weekend sometimes, and I remember in 2005, the Buccaneers ruined my birthday by drafting Cadillac Williams with the 5th overall pick.
That was a great pick.
Yeah, I know it wasn't.
Oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer future.
No. I bought a Cadillac Williams jersey that week.
Yeah.
100%.
I was the same one.
And it was a great
rookie
year.
I started following Auburn after
that. He had a great rookie year, and I think that he might have turned it into something if he didn't get hurt. You know, who's to say?
Well, let's be honest. John Gruden ran him into the ground. He tried to kill the guy.
Ran that Cadillac into the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, but he had an injury history before that. Okay. Yeah. And what are you doing with the fifth overall pick, drafting the third running back on the board?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just asinine. You know, and for
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even DeMarcus Ware. I think DeMarcus Ware was drafted 10th that year. And I loved him at the Senior Bowl. I thought, wow, this is the next Simeon Rice right here.
Mm-hmm.
And Monty Kiffin loved him. And
they picked the running back.
They picked the running back, yeah.
The third best one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, who was the first one that went that year? Was it
Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown.
First overall.
Cedric Benson.
God. And then Cedric Benson to the Bears.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that he was the third best one. He was the third one off
the third
board.
One taken. Yeah. Well, he might have been the third best. I mean, his career was cut short with injury.
I guess Ronnie Brown was the best one.
I don't know. You think?
I think Benson lasted the longest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Benson... Ronnie Brown had a couple of good years in there where, like, they did that Wildcat thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, Ronnie Brown was like, oh, my God, you can't stop
Didn't they beat the Patriots one year doing the Wildcat?
I mean, maybe... Was it the Matt Castle years?
I don't know.
Because it's only been 1 year the Pats haven't been good.
I don't cover the Dolphins.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's only been 1 year the Pats haven't been good. It was the year that Brady blew out his knee.
Yeah. And so they still won 11
games.
Matt
Castle's still signing contracts based off of that 1 year.
And I think they still won 10 or 11 games. They just missed the playoffs by
Yeah, I think it was 10.
Yeah. I think they were 10-6 even with Matt Castle. And Tom Brady got hurt in the first quarter of the season opener that year.
Right, yeah.
Against Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Well, although we may be, our heads may be ready to fall off our shoulders with all this draft talk, it hasn't slowed down. I mean, our traffic has been through the roof. You know, any draft story we put up, Twitter is alive. Questions coming in on the mailbag. Same ones virtually every week. And really, one of the big things is, guys, we talked about the big three that we know the Buccaneers like, Quentin Nelson, Saquon Barkley, and Bradley Chubb. And, you know, a month ago we were on this podcast and we're like, there's no way any of those three are probably there. But we've seen some trades, and now we hear some rumors of some other teams that want to move up in front of the Buccaneers in hopes of getting one of the three or four quarterbacks that are going to go. So what would you put the percentage that one of those big three are actually there? I would say it's 50-50 at this point, which is, I hate when people say 50-50 because that's you're really going out on a limb there.
You basically just intro the topic and threw it to Scott and I.
Yes, exactly. You guys are the experts.
It could be either way. What do you guys think? Yeah. Oh, thanks.
It could be yes or no. What do you think?
Those are the two options.
But I'd say the percentage is higher than it was a month ago, though, right?
That, like, collectively, like all three, one of them
might
be there?
I think 34%, one of them will be there.
I think it's higher than that.
Do you?
I think it's higher than 50.
Really?
Yes. 51? I keep telling people that Saquon's going to be there because
he very well could.
If he's there, I wrote that in last week's SR.
I think you're right.
I think you're right. If Saquon's on the board,
if he's there, he's here.
Yeah.
But like, I'm telling you, this is how it. We heard a. I heard a report that this morning that the Jets may very well have traded up for Baker Mayfield instead of Josh Allen.
Right.
Like, that might be the guy who they're going to pick. So if it's Darnold at one, we know it's going to be Darnold at one. I think the Giants are going to take a quarterback, and they're going to pay. They'll take Josh Rosen at two. Baker Mayfield goes three. All of a sudden, the Bills guy, it was reported that it's Josh Allen, they could trade up to four. Then if four quarterbacks go right away, it's guaranteed you get one of the three.
Right.
So I honestly think it's higher than 50%.
We've heard some reports and some, well, not reports, really rumors from some of our leak sources.
Groomers?
No, these aren't groomers. Oh. Nothing to do with John Gruden. Okay.
He's coming back.
He's coming back to Tampa Bay.
Not to Tampa. Yeah. No? Well, he will eventually win the Bucs.
By the way, I just, you know, Scott will never do this, but I'm going to do this. For all you a-holes who ripped the piss out of Sky, I'm grumpy because I just got my son's report card. I'm really in a bad mood right now. Literally right before I walked into this podcast, I got his grades, and I'm not happy at all. But anyway, for you people who said, I guarantee you Gruden's never coming back. You guys don't know shiz. Guess what? Suck it. Scott knew shiz. They were in the meeting. Now, I was on vacation. Trevor and Scott went and met with the man. We broke the story. I mean, deal with it. And I haven't heard one single person apologize yet. So, again, I'm a little crabby right now. But you can address that to Pewter Report, to Scott Reynolds. Your apologies for being a jerk,
Can I title this podcast like Mark Unchained?
The Angry Ginger.
Or something
the angry
like
that. Oh,
they
yeah.
have a drink named after me at Ford's Garage.
That's true.
So,
angry Ginger.
I'm definitely an Angry Ginger.
It was either that
podcast.
Or something to do with a report card. So one of the two will
Here's
be the headline
the funny
of this podcast.
Thing. The funny thing is, I mean, I was texting John Gruden during the season.
Right.
Trying to get some news, and John was very kind of tight-lipped about things. But He reiterated to me over and over and over again he was coming back.
Scott, you talked to people in his circle.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't just based on that one thing that you guys did late in July.
Right.
I mean,
and there was interest from the Buccaneers in him. There was interest in him to the Buccaneers. But again, at $10 million a year for 10 years, I'm glad the Lasers didn't make that commitment.
Oh, Lord.
The only person who's worth that is Bill Belichick. He's the only guy that would be worth anything close to that in that length of a commitment. And even now that's questionable because he's getting up there in age.
And Gruden's out here signing these old people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, some of those moves he's made.
Not a great look.
Doug Martin. I'm like, God, if he'd have stayed here, was he going to resign or was he going to keep Doug Martin?
Whew. I'll say this. Listen, I love John Gruden's coaching ability. I love his motivational ability.
Right.
I like him on Sundays at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock. And on the occasional Sunday or Monday night. That's when I like him.
Sure.
But when it comes to draft time and free agency time, the guy cannot pick players. And I just don't know how this marriage between Jason Light and John Gruden would have worked. Because John has got such an overwhelming personality. He's got to have his way. We saw that with Bruce Allen here in Tampa. And I don't think that he's learned a damn thing about personnel while he's been gone. He might have learned and picked up some new plays and new schemes, new formations, and new innovative ideas for practice from being around the game.
Right.
But personnel-wise, he has shown me so far that A, he's in charge, is not McKenzie out there.
Oh, Lord, he's in charge.
And B, nothing's changed when it comes to his personnel.
What do you think that if Gruden would have got this job, he would have made Jason Light cut his hair like Mark Davis, the bangs?
I don't know, but if I was Jason Light, I'd make John Gruden cut his hair a little bit because
John and Mark's hair is not
they're
that
very
far off.
Similar. Yeah,
I mean, all John's like got to go is 2 inches higher on the bangs, and you wouldn't be able to tell these guys apart.
That's spot on, and it looks like they're using a Flovie too. I would just use
regular
clippers.
There's no way
scissors.
Either one of those guys are paying somebody
Trevor's
to cut their hair.
Trevor's looking at us like, "What's a Flovie?" Go ahead and say it.
I have no idea what that is.
Say, "What's a Flovie?" Say it.
What's a Flovie?
Okay. Might have been the most innovative and genius invention of the 20th century late night infomercial.
Here's your homework, millennial. Go home and check out Google, YouTube, whatever.
Yeah.
Flovie. Flowbee.
Yep.
Flovie. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm nervous, but okay.
Basically, the premise is take your shop vac, okay, or
put
your
some
vacuum,
razors in it somehow.
Put an electric razor in it, and there's your haircutting device.
You don't never have to go pay $15 again for a haircut.
That's right.
You can do it all at home with a Flovie. Anyway, all right, so again, way off
topic.
Hold on,
there's a lot of 40-year-old people out there listening right now laughing their ass off.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because they've seen the crazy information.
I used Flovie for years. I actually invented it. I just didn't get the patent on it. That was my fault. Anyway, so we're going to go back to some draft talk. We talked about, you know, one of the big three being there. Now, again, I'm going to throw odds out at you again.
Hold on, I was going to say this, too. We've heard from our sources that Derwin James possibly could go at number 5. To Denver.
Yeah.
Okay, and if that's the case, then the Buccaneers won't just have one of those guys sliding. They'll actually have a choice between Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, or Saquon Barkley. Like, they will have probably two out of the three to choose from. Indianapolis is going to take one of those guys.
I think
the Colts are going to take one of those guys that the Bucs want. But if that's the case, if the Broncos at number 5 take Derwin James, then either Barkley, Chubb, Nelson, two of those three will be there, I think, at number 7.
I'm going to make 90% of our followers' heads explode when I say this. I'm not taking Nelson at 7. There's no way in hell I'm taking a guard. I'm just not. I mean, franchise left tackle, yes, you could potentially make that argument. Not potentially, you do make that argument if you feel he's good. And I'm not saying that he's not going to be a great guard. But as I was pointing out to our good friend Skip the other day, who was texting me, I go, who are the guards for the Eagles? Who were the guards for the Patriots? Name the last 5 Hall of Fame guards. I can't. I don't know. I don't care. You know what I mean? How many guards are in the NFL versus tackles, even versus centers? I mean, all of those things. I just don't see the. I mean, even if he's a Pro Bowl
all right, here's
guard,
the thing. You don't want to take a guard that high. You don't want to take a guard in the first round. But talent is talent. And your goal, picking in the first round, especially in the top 10, is draft a Pro Bowl player. Draft a player who will be a 10-year starter and will go to Pro Bowls. That really, at the end of the day, it's not draft for need, because when you do that, a lot of times it backfires. Like some of these quarterbacks that are going to go in the top 5, they're going to suck and the teams are going to stay bad
that makes
because
sense
of these picks.
To me at 20. It doesn't make sense at 7, and the reason I say that is because he's not going to be the only choice of a guy that I think the Buccaneers have rated as a potential Pro Bowler down the road. He may be the safest pick as far as that goes, but again, I just, you know, Zach Martin's a great player.
Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet.
I like the idea of it.
Ryan Jensen.
It is
Quentin Nelson and DeMar Dotson.
And who's running the damn football? Peyton Barber? I mean,
Peyton
I don't
Barber
care.
Could run the ball behind
well,
that
Well, I mean,
group.
It would. They would
Peyton
be
Barber
better.
Could get 1,000 yards behind
them. It would
them.
Be better. It
and
would be better.
Jameis Winston would have less pressures and more productivity behind that offensive line. I'm just saying.
I
Trevor,
mean,
you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you, your son could run behind that line if he got his grades up.
Are you? Yes, exactly. Exactly, because
he's eligible.
Right now, Roger Goodell would give him a 4-game suspension for his nonsense. No, it wasn't PEDs or anything like that I know of. I'm gonna go home and start checking his book bag and under his mattress.
It.
What the hell?
He probably needs some PEDs, some performance-enhancing drugs to get his grades up. Maybe some Stay Awake or, you know.
Some Vivarin?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We used to take a ton of that back in the 80s,
Or Jolt Cola. Remember
Jolt Cola? Me and Scott.
Yeah.
Vivarin. It was pure caffeine pills.
Yeah, that's a terrible name. Vivarin?
Yeah. There was also a weight loss product back in the early 80s, and the name of it was AIDS.
No way.
Swear to God.
No
Brilliant product.
Way.
It did not last long because literally like a month after that product was unveiled, the epidemic came about.
And
they're like,
that way too,
could that have been the worst name for a weight loss? I mean, the guy who invented that's probably spent 10 years developing it and several million dollars.
I mean, puts
it out on the market, it takes off, and then all of a sudden.
Aid, like help.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
you know, AIDS.
I think it had something to do with appetite, immune. I mean, it had a moniker too, or whatever that term
I even
is.
Think Rolaids. Remember the Rolaids commercials? Yeah. You know, I think when the AIDS epidemic broke out.
That's when
out,
Tums took over.
Yeah, it changed. They're like, well, I don't know, you're mispronouncing it. It's Rolaids.
Yeah, Rolaids.
It's Rolaids. Rolaids.
Rolaids. Yeah.
Rolaids.
Yeah, because Tums immediately took over the market at that point. But. Yes, there was a product called AIDS. But anyway, so we're going to find out. Vivarin was real. AIDS was real. What else did we tell him? Flobies were real.
Yeah.
All of those things were real. And Lehman Bennett was the coach of the Buccaneers at one time for 2 years. Lehman Bennett.
Abe Gibbron, right?
Abe Gibbron.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll always remember that name.
He's real as well.
We are educating the masses, or at least the millennials, with this podcast.
All right.
And speaking of Quentin Nelson, he was actually at one Buccaneer place.
As was Derwin James.
As was
Vita Vea. And as of today, we're recording this podcast on Thursday, Jair Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some serious names.
Those
are some first-round names there.
Yep.
Could there be a guy that the Buccaneers have thrown a little, and we know that teams do this, they throw out a little misinformation, act overly interested in a guy. You think there's a possibility Jason Light has a guy that we're not thinking of at that 7 position? Could there be a surprise pick there? Or is it more likely, though, that they move back at that point?
I mean, other than Denzel Ward.
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
He's not really a surprise, but. I don't know. I mean, I'm not knocking Denzel Ward, the player. I don't like him at 7 at all. And I don't know that there's a lot of difference between him because of his size. At 5'10", 180, I don't think there's much difference between him and Jair Alexander or, you know, even some cornerbacks that you could find in the second round of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that he is that head and shoulders above other cornerbacks.
Not at 5'10".
Not a 5'10", exactly.
Not a 5'10", 183.
And I go back to, you know, yes, Quentin Nelson is the best at his position, but how far are the next couple guys after that you could get in the second
round?
Not
as far as
round?
What people think.
That's exactly right.
Isaiah Wynn's really good.
What did Quentin Nelson run at the NFL Combine in his 40?
Five something.
That would be 0 because he didn't run.
Oh, okay.
Why did he not run?
Because he's a slow guard.
He's a slow guard.
He didn't have to. That's
I mean, he didn't have to.
Because he will kick your ass
well,
at the line of
scrimmage. That's true. Again, that's fine. If me and him are fighting in a refrigerator, that's the guy I want on my football team. But, you know, the Buccaneers expect their guards to get out in space.
Let's put it this way. If Quentin Nelson is the last guy to run into the end zone to celebrate with the running back after a 40-yard touchdown run, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since he's probably the guy that blew out the hole open.
I'm not. Saying. I want my guard stride for stride with the running back.
Yes, I want him
blocking
to, I
like
want him,
sunshine and remember the Titans.
That's right. I want him 20 yards ahead of Peyton Barber. Apparently, he's the star running back if Quentin Nelson's on this football team.
No,
I'm not
hear,
buying
I hear,
that
I mean,
for
like
a
I hear you
either.
About the guards, and I mean, that's the thing too. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia is—he's a guard, and like he's going to be a really, really good guard.
Yeah, he is a complete technician. He reminds me of Randall McDaniel. I don't know if you remember him.
He doesn't.
Okay, Hall of Fame guard for the Minnesota Vikings, had a cup of coffee, actually caught a touchdown pass here.
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay, believe it or not, under Les Steckel, and.
He doesn't believe that
but
name either.
But he is—he's like, who's Les Steckel? Like, who's Randall McDaniel?
You gotta
who's
admit,
Les Steckel?
Out of all
you're
those
throwing
names,
these names at him.
Out of all those names that we've mentioned to him over the podcast the last year or so, Les Steckel might be the fakest sounding name. Yeah. But I can assure you, he's real.
Abe
too.
Gibran's still a faker, but
Les Steckel gets to run for his number.
Les
money.
Steckel.
Randall McDaniel was a complete technician. He wasn't going to destroy you at the line of scrimmage. He was not a phone booth fighter, but he was a guy that would get his hands on you in the right spot. The right leverage, right technique, and just block you all day long.
Yeah.
And that, to me, because the crazy thing about Wynn was he played left tackle at Georgia, you know, and he does not look like left tackle. He looks like a guard. I mean, he looks every bit of a guard. What was he, 6'2"?
Who is this?
Wynn, Isaiah Wynn.
I think he's 6'2". I don't remember what he mentioned in that, actually.
Well, maybe if like he had a played guard, they would have beat Alabama.
No, he completely shut out Ovo Okoronkwo. I mean, he did a phenomenal job all year long. I don't know that he gave up a sack.
Couldn't stop Bama, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just his job to stop Bama.
Roll Tide.
I'm just saying.
Roll Tide. I'm 10 of the guys on offense. I didn't want Georgia to win.
So
wait, so you wanted Alabama to win?
Yeah, 100%.
Why?
Georgia,
they're in the West and not
Georgia
the
is like our like bitter rival.
Oh, that's,
like, I hate
Gator,
Georgia.
That's right, yeah.
Two teams I hate are Georgia and Florida State.
They embarrassed them pretty bad this year.
Oh, yeah, they did.
In Jacksonville.
Every year. See, like, Alabama, if Alabama wins, it's just like, well, there's another Bama title. I don't really care.
I would love
if Georgia wins for the
Bucks
first time in whenever.
Since 1980.
I'd love for the Bucks to draft Sony Michel, and then I'll just have Trevor come over with me and we'll interview Sony Michel. You know, hey, what was it like running roughshod over the Florida Gators in Jacksonville?
I'd just walk out.
That's why I wanted the Bucks to draft Dalvin Cook. That was the only reason. So Trevor would have to interview him every day. So the thing is, Trevor would never be able to catch him because Trevor's a Gator. He'd never get his hands on him to interview him. The Gators are still trying to tackle Dalvin Cook. Wait, I just heard him score again.
You know, there's another corner the Buccaneers supposedly have either worked out or brought in for a visit, and that's Mike Hughes from UCF.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, another guy that is similar size, 5'10".
Does that count as a local visit? It doesn't, right?
It does not.
Because it's from Orlando. Correct. It's only 30 miles, right?
I think it's 30 miles, yeah.
Your
hometown.
So for people that don't know, so we just explain here. During the after the combine, really, every NFL team gets 30 private visits that they can have with prospects. Now, I don't think workouts count. Like, if you bring a guy in for just a workout,
no,
I don't think that
if
counts.
If you bring somebody on campus,
like in the building.
On your headquarters.
That still counts?
That still counts.
Okay,
but you can go work them out with a position coach and a scout at their university.
So if they come to the building, that counts as one of your, and you get 30 private visits. Now, these can sometimes, you know, we're going to get some scoop on some of the guys that they're going to have from now until draft day. Some of it, obviously, like we heard this week, Vita Vea, Derwin James, Jay Alexander, Quentin Nelson. These are guys that you're thinking about as first-round prospects. But some of these other 30...
And guys we've talked about, too. Guys we've had in a mock draft for the Buccaneers.
But some of the other names that you're going to hear aren't going to be first-round, second-round, even third-round guys. Some of these guys are going to be day three options and even undrafted free agent options. And the team knows that. But they want to obviously get ahead, find some of those diamonds in the rough. So that's kind of what they use these 30 visits for. But the reason why we brought it up right here is that there's also a policy to where you can have what the NFL calls quote-unquote local visits,
mm-hmm.
where if a player comes from a school, university, that is within 30 miles of where your facility is.
It might even be 50. I'd have to check on that. But
I think one of the two.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't necessarily count against one of your 30 that you get because it's considered a local visit.
Correct.
But obviously Orlando, farther than that, so Mike Hughes coming in doesn't count. But like anybody, for example, you know, from USF doesn't have to count.
That's
they get
correct.
They get to bring those guys in and talk to them, and that doesn't count.
Now, here's the other thing, too. If a player went to high school in that same realm, like, for example, one of the guys that I followed at Kansas State, the wide receiver Byron Pringle.
Yeah.
He went to high school here in Tampa. I think he went to Jefferson. He can come in, even though he played at Kansas State, he can come in as a local workout guy because he was a local product of this area.
That's
so
good.
That doesn't count. So it didn't have to be.
It's a good rule by the NFL. Yeah, I like that.
Just like USF guys.
So you're saying in 5 years, my son would not count as a visit because Durant High School is within 30 miles.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
But he better get his grades up or he's not even going to get into college.
There you go.
Do you hear me? He does listen to the podcast, surprisingly.
What up, Douglas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get your grades up, son.
Fortnite is over. Do you hear me? No more Fortnite.
It's never over.
All right. Draft coming up in 30 days. Where are we on time-wise here? I didn't even set my
timer. We're 25. We're good.
All right, we're good. We're good.
Well, here's one more note just to kind of dovetail on what you were saying about the visits. So the natural question might be, why do they bring in guys that are fringe draft picks or undrafted free agents? And the reason for that is because there's the draft after the draft, which is you get to pick players and you have, you know, maybe seven picks, maybe you have more, maybe you have got a few less picks. But then after that, it's a mad scramble for the undrafted free agents. And these are players that teams typically have draftable grades on, but they didn't get drafted. And yet they want them to come, guys like Adam Humphries, for example, Cameron Brate, players that they want to bring in for the rookie minicamp, that they want to sign to bring into training camp. And it might be on a tryout basis. It might be just, you know, getting them on the roster to come to training camp. And it is a recruiting process. It's the Wild West. It's you might have the Dolphins and the Chiefs also interested in this particular linebacker that you want to bring in and sign. And maybe he just is a guy that is a special teamer. Maybe he's a guy like Kadarius Lanton that kind of rises up the depth chart, you know, once he gets an opportunity. But there is a full-fledged recruiting war that goes on. And if you haven't had any type of dialogue, if you hadn't been to his pro day, if you didn't interview him at the combine, if you didn't interview him, you know, on campus when you were visiting for his pro day, if you didn't put him through a private workout, if you didn't bring him in for a visit, you probably don't stand much of a chance unless you've got a really, really good situation on your depth chart where it's wide open at this position and you know the agent. The agent's going to steer that player where the player feels comfortable, because the beauty of it is, even though you didn't get drafted, you lost out on that potential memory, you get to pick where you go from the teams that are interested in you. So now you have a choice as opposed to, oh, crap, the Browns drafted me.
Right.
Now you could pick between maybe 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 teams. And those teams might be offering more signing bonus money than the other. So it is a full-on recruiting thing. And that's why you'll see the Buccaneers spend maybe 10 of those visits, maybe 12, maybe half of them, on guys that are fringe draft picks that reason.
You've brought up this point in the past, in years past, and it makes a lot of sense. Is, you know, sometimes there's guys that, say last year when the Buccaneers were picking at 19, they brought in guys that they knew probably weren't going to be there at the time. But there's always that second contract. There's always the opportunity where there's a free agent. So,
That's right. You know,
getting that person in there, knowing the type of person and character and quality they are. You've told the story about a former USF cornerback, his very first meeting with Monty Kiffin and
Mike Jenkins.
That went over. Yeah, talk. Remind people about that.
Yeah, and Mike Jenkins apparently came in, you know, and he was part of the local visit, so he wasn't one of the 30, but this was a guy drafted in the first round. The Bucs were considering him. They ended up taking Aqib Talib instead, which is a better pick, better player. But apparently Jenkins fell asleep when Monty Kiffin was doing a film review. Hey, this is an intro to our Bucs defense. This is our Tampa 2. Turn the lights off, you know, put the film on for maybe 30 minutes or something like that. You know, asking guys some questions, you know, all right, and when you see this offensive formation here, what do you think we do defensively? You know, how are we going to rotate the safeties to help out over top or whatever, okay? So he does that. And he's looking around, and apparently Jenkins dozed off in the meeting. Now, I've never talked to Kiffin about that, but I've talked to people that have knowledge of this, and they say that's what happened. If it didn't happen, my apologies to you, Mike Jenkins, but it's one hell of a story if it did.
Yeah,
because as legend has it, Kiffin said, "Whatever you do, we're not drafting Mike Jenkins because he made a bad impression."
And if Monty Kiffin by chance has still been here, been in Tampa 3 years ago when Mike Jenkins came in and actually played for the Buccaneers, it wouldn't have happened. I mean, you know what I mean? It wouldn't have happened. Jason Light is certainly hoping he and Dirk Cutter and this staff is still here. 4 years down the road, 5 years down the road, when some of these guys end up with second contracts and things like that, or become potential free agents. And
sometimes you bring in these visits, these players. Sometimes it's, you know, you're on the fence about a guy. You know, maybe you didn't have a great interview at the combine and you only had 15 minutes and you want to give him another chance. You want to see, you know, or maybe he was almost too good to be true. Maybe you think he's full of BS and he's just programmed by his agent. And you want to spend more than 15 minutes with him and really kind of maybe get under his skin a little bit, or, you know, probe him or check out his football knowledge more intently, his football IQ. You can do those things if you're really on the fence. And I've had general managers from Mark Domnick to Bruce Allen to Jason Light tell me that a visit has gone so bad that they just take a guy off the draft board, or they move him down, like, hey, we're not taking this guy on anywhere before day three because of this, because there's too much of a risk with his character based on what we found out.
How many interviews take place, not necessarily with these private visits, because those, you know, you only have a certain amount of them, but maybe up at the combine or maybe at these pro days when the general managers go and watch and they talk to these guys a little bit and their agents, or recon missions too. I mean, could the Buccaneers bring in a Florida State teammate to try and find out more about Derwin James, for instance, and things like that?
Happens all the time. I don't know that they're going to burn a top 30 visit just to find out, but yes, they do that at the combine. Where they do that a lot is East-West Shrine and the Senior Bowl. They'll sit there and say, okay, here is, you know, here's a kid from Tennessee, and he's at the East-West Shrine game, and, you know, we don't like him. We, you know, he's not really a Buccaneer cornerback or whatever. But, you know, we need another receiver to round up the depth chart. And this guy has played against, you know, four of the guys in his career that we happen to like.
So or there's a running back at Tennessee that we know the Buccaneers like a little bit, too. I mean, for instance. So they ask about
like John
that
Kelly.
Guy. Exactly. Yeah. They ask about him.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell me about John Kelly. What was he like as a teammate, you know, and all that stuff. And those kind of interviews happen all the time. A lot of the time, scouts will conduct those. It's not so much Jason. It's not so much maybe Mike Beal, the director of college scouting, who does a phenomenal job. A lot of times it's the scouts. Sometimes the position coaches get involved in that, you know. But, yeah, they definitely like to get intel. And
I actually spent my entire time at the FSU Pro Day getting intel. I asked every player that was there about Derwin James while they're up at the podium for their time. I'm sure they probably didn't appreciate that because they're finally getting their opportunity
to shine. We did that at the Senior Bowl all the time.
You know, be like, hey, yeah, it's real nice, Ryan Green, but tell me about Derwin James.
Right.
You
know? Well, for example, there's a knock on Rashad Penny, who the Buccaneers like, and he's going to be one of their top 30 visits as well, from what I'm understanding. But in one of the biggest upsets that was out there in college football this year, San Diego State beat Stanford, and they beat him at San Diego State, and Harrison Phillips was there at the Senior Bowl. And Rashad Penny is a little bit of kind of a finesse runner. He likes to find the hole. You know, he runs scared. He doesn't want to get hit, doesn't want to get tackled. It doesn't mean that he doesn't like contact. I mean, he will break some tackles. The guy's 220 pounds. And against Stanford, which is a rock'em sock'em, tough, rugged defense, Harrison Phillips said, yeah, like that guy was a sledgehammer. I mean, he was one of the toughest running backs that I've ever tried to tackle. And Harrison Phillips is a rough, you know, tough guy at that nose tackle spot. So getting that type of intel, you know, to me as a journalist at least, is pretty invaluable, because it kind of paints a picture of, okay, well, maybe that silences some of the critics that suggest that Rashad Penny isn't that soft. Because I'll tell you what, I watched that game, and he had to earn every yard, and he did. He got over 100 yards and really outshined Bryce Love in that game and got the win.
All right, we've got a few more minutes left in the podcast. We're going to answer a couple questions in just a second. But first of all, we want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the Pewter Nation podcast, our good friends over at T.A. Mahoney's. They're in Tampa off of Adamo Drive. They're between Brandon and, before you get into downtown Tampa, they are on the north side of the road. T.A. Mahoney's has been in business, a family-owned business, for a number of years. And guys, if you're a boater or gals that are listening to this podcast, if you have a boat, you have a trailer, and you need work done on it, you need repairs done on the boat, you need repairs done on the trailer, you need your power pole put on correctly. Mike Mahoney tweeted some pictures or Facebooked some pictures recently of those guys having to go in and correct some of these marine dealers that install these add-ons to these boats. These people spend $40,000, $50,000 on a boat, and the power pole is put on sideways or upside down, and they can't figure out why it doesn't work. T.A. Mahoney's going to, number one, install it. They can sell it to you, but they can also fix other people's mistakes, from wiring to the trailer assembly. Maybe you have some bad wheel bearings from going in the salt water all the time. They can handle all of these needs. Plus, they have a full tackle store inside their facility. They have the gear, the SPF-type gear that you wear out on the water, hats, accessories. They've got the coolers. They've got everything you need. Trevor.
Yes.
They have fiberglass, cloth, and resin for when we need to repair our surfboards.
Couldn't be.
They have it. I mean, they've got anything you need. And of course, mainly that's used for the boating industry because of the fiberglass boats.
Do you surf? You seem like somebody who low-key would know how to surf.
I could tell you a million stories.
He's been injured several times surfing.
Yes. I've retired from the sport of surfing, but...
why I don't surf?
Because Charlie don't surf.
Because there's sharks.
What movie's that from?
Because there's sharks in the
water. That's true.
Yeah,
although he has a tattoo on his leg of a shark.
I do have
anyway.
I've got a shark tattoo because I got circled by a shark.
I saw somebody else who has like
Excuse me for being afraid.
He's afraid of bees, and so they like have a bee tattoo. Like
sharks are cooler than bees. I'm just saying.
No, but like, why would you get your fear tattooed on you?
That's true. Like I don't.
Reminder.
Like I don't have a tattoo.
You're afraid.
This is how far it's on my ankle. This is how far I go in the water.
Oh, okay.
It's like a gauge. It's like a rain gauge.
I mean, Trevor makes a good point.
When the shark tattoo gets wet, I get out of the water.
Hey, there's Reynolds.
I used to subscribe to this theory that that God made the oceans for sharks, ponds for alligators, and rivers for snakes, and pools for man. Then I moved to Florida and understood that alligators get in your pool too.
So do snakes.
Double dip between your pool and lakes.
And if you have a bull shark, you can put them in your pool because they can live in fresh water.
That's true.
That
yeah.
would be a good prank we need to do on his pool one day. Go get a baby bull shark and put it in his pool.
Yeah.
But anyway, check out T.A. Mahoney's.
That's a fireball offense, Cook.
We might get in trouble for that.
Yeah. I think that's probably illegal with the Game Commission as well. But anyway, go check out our good friends at T.A. Mahoney's, Mike. Matt over there is another great guy. Been there a long time. And I always say this: support small local business.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, listen. I wish I could have invented one of these big box stores, and I was a billionaire too. But you know, they hurt sometimes, these smaller businesses. So if you're in the outdoor world, whether it be fishing, boating, repairing your surfboards, or whatever it is, you need some tackle, go check out T.A. Mahoney's. They are located on Adamo. You can also find them on Facebook. You can find them also on the internet by typing in tamahoneys.com. So make sure to check them out and thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Now, you guys were talking about why put your fears on tattoos. That gives me a good idea. I'm actually going to go to the tattoo parlor after this and get an elevator put on my arm because I hate elevators more than anything in the world.
You are deathly afraid of
He's
elevators.
Just going to put the word Otis on there.
No, I hate elevators. They're evil. I'm pretty sure hell is filled with nothing but elevators that
elevators.
Stop between
that's
floors.
That's how you get down there. Satan comes to you and says,
you're in the fourth level of hell, Cook. You just get on
going
the elevator,
down.
We'll take you
going
down.
Down.
No, please, can we not? The fourth level is just the elevator.
I won't even listen to Aerosmith's Love in an Elevator song because I get claustrophobic and have a panic attack. So, although
you better start living right, Cook, because you know Satan's listening right now and he's going to say, you know what? You're going to be in a perpetual
Satan's
elevator
listening.
Going down for the rest
I've
of eternity.
I've always kind of felt that hell is whatever you hate the most. That's what you're going to experience for eternity.
Great.
So it's going to be. It's going to be English peas and elevators. Those are the two things I don't like in this world.
Eaten alive continuously by a shark over and over again.
Do we have questions?
Or maybe a school of sharks.
Yeah, we've got some questions.
What are the questions?
I don't know. I don't get good Wi-Fi inside Scott's compound.
Okay.
But I had a couple here.
It's more of a headquarters than a compound.
It's more of a compound. There's
compound seems
walls
a little cultish.
And there's security guards and there's some...
I got one.
Don't tread on me
flags
flying outside.
I got Ren's up now. Ren asked us a question. It's kind of a longer one, but...
Imagine that with Ren.
He said, DeMar Dotson's gone on record saying that O-line continuity is important to him and that the left guard rotating left guard situation didn't really do Donovan Smith any favors. Do you think that Allie, because he was affected by the constant change as well, Donovan should have gotten together, went to Warhop and Cutter, asked for them to just decide on a player to just play at left tackle. Maybe have them like endorse their choice. Maybe this would have been anything different. I know we've talked about
left guard.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said left tackle.
Oh, sorry. Left guard. And then he said, secondly, do you think that the organization has the proper culture for players to feel comfortable to go up to the coaches and make like suggestions like that?
I think it probably depends on the coach and the relationship you have with the assistant. That's just my guess.
I'll say about the rotating position thing. Cutter kind of talked to us a little bit about this during the off season and was a lot more forward about his answer than he was during the season, because during the season he just goes, well, you know, we just have them both in there because, you know, we're lucky that we have two capable guys and blah, blah, blah. And during the offseason this year, he was like, yeah, neither of them
took ownership. Played.
Yeah, neither of them were worthy to be the starter, yeah. So they weren't the starter. Yeah,
that's when you pick one and go with the guy.
And see, I think that's what he's...
That's where your coaches come in. Yeah. That's just, to me, that's just such a brush-off excuse.
It's asinine. If I'm Dirk Cutter and George Warhop says, well, both of them deserve to play, I say, pick one.
Right.
Pick one. I want to... Because my mantra has been the best five guys are going to get on the field.
Right.
Okay, not six, five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best five guys are going to be on the field on the offensive line. Who are the top five guys? Don't give me 5A and 5B. Right. I want five.
Right. Lovie, remember Lovie's first year? Every preseason game was a different five guys, and we were just pulling our hair out. Like,
holy crap.
What is going on here? I mean, Josh McCown got killed in that first game.
If you're doing that in the preseason games, you can't evaluate talent.
No, you can't.
You have no idea what you're doing. If you are in the preseason, especially, I don't know how late, so this is a detail that you guys just told me that I didn't know, but like if he was doing this stuff in like week three, week four, even week two, week three, dude, you can't evaluate talent.
Yeah.
I'd have been... If he was doing that, I'd be looking for a new head coach because I'd know that the year's not going to go well.
Well, it didn't take me too long to put out the call to fire Lovie Smith.
When did you do that?
After the Redskins game in the second year.
But like, when was that?
Fourth preseason October? Game, year one. I'm just kidding.
You said in October that he should be fired?
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. No, look, man.
I've seen enough.
Look, if he was doing that stuff, you can't evaluate talent.
As a matter of fact... After they lost the Tennessee Titans season opener, when he says, well, I guess we just weren't Tennessee ready. I wrote right there that this could be the beginning of the end. I wrote that in week one of 2015. Yep. This could be the end of Lovie Smith.
You had nine months to get Tennessee ready.
He said that out loud?
How in the hell are you not Tennessee ready?
He said we weren't Tennessee ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because Marcus Mariota was doing RPOs on the Bucs defense the entire first half.
Because there was no game film of him doing that whatsoever in college.
How did Lovie Smith get a job with the Bucs? Film whatsoever.
Right. They had no Oregon film, apparently.
Yeah. How did he get a job?
You know, the other guy that they were considering a quarterback, they didn't watch him at all, apparently, at Oregon.
Oh, my gosh.
It was an awful hire. It really was. And I know Lovie Smith fans are out there. I'm sorry you are a Lovie Smith fan.
I don't really know any of them anymore. Yeah, I don't really know any of them anymore. Ebor Native, also at Old School Buck, asked, what's the feel at One Buck about getting a young, nasty, physical guard in this draft? I'd love to see us get a kid who's not afraid to show his inner Frank Middleton.
Trevor has no idea
who that is. To go with one of those Georgia running backs that I know light is shining towards.
Yeah.
Anybody named Frank, you can play in the trench if your name's Frank.
Yeah,
Frank Ragnow, guy in the draft.
Well, you know if your name is Frank, you're going to have an awful body. You're just going to be short and overweight.
No models
probably.
Named Frank.
Yeah.
Right.
Frederick,
right.
You know, maybe.
No but. Hollywood top actors named Frank. There's no no Frank Cooper, Bradley's brother, that's his twin. No.
He's actually better looking
anybody
than Bradley
named
Cooper.
Frank listening to the podcast is extremely offended right now.
Our apologies to all Franks out there.
I'm sorry,
the
all the Franks listening. For
I'm not
you
apologizing.
Not being a
if your name's Frank, you're just not a good looking man. I'm sorry. It's like if you're a woman and your name's Gertrude, I'm not dating you.
We're going to be inundated with pictures sent via email of Frank.
You know what? Here's what we're going to do. You send your pictures in. If it is you and it's legit and it's a picture of you, Frank, we're going to pick the best looking Frank. And when we get our first batch of new Pewter Report t shirts, we will send you a Pewter Report t shirt.
Yes.
We will send you a little gift basket, but you have to be the best looking Frank, and that's not saying a lot. I mean if your name's Frank, you're in the running, because there's not going to be many good
you
submissions.
Be the best looking Frank.
Even if your name technically is Franklin and you go by Franklin rather than Frank, you're still eligible.
Yeah, you're eligible.
Frank.
If you send the picture of a hot dog in and call it a Frank, You're in the running, possibly.
You're in the competition.
I mean, yeah, sometimes sure. Hot dogs are better looking than all the Franks that I know. I would rather see look at the hot dog.
What were we talking about? The question was,
I would say Will Hernandez. Will, there's two guards that really stand out to me in terms of physicality and just nastiness, and that's Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, and Will Hernandez from UTEP.
From UTEP, yeah. No, those are good ones. I think the start of the question was like, what was the feel around One Buck Place about getting one of those guys in? And I mean, you know, Marpet and Donovan Smith voluntarily went to dinner with Ryan Jensen because they wanted to do whatever they could to get a good O-line in here. Yeah. So I'm sure they'd be down with that.
If you haven't
been
paying attention, the off-season theme at One Buck Place is toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Allen, Vinnie Curry, JPP, Ryan Jensen, Mitch Unrein.
Unrein. Have we decided how to pronounce his name yet?
Yeah, that's up for debate. Actually, you guys keep
Trevor,
talking.
That's going to be Trevor's first job on April 16th.
Have
when
you guys
the first
seen
day of
full name?
Thing, we're going to make sure that you know how to pronounce his name.
Have you seen Vita Vea's full name?
Is it Tuvia Laka Waka?
It is. 5 times worse than Stevie Tui Kolovatu's.
Oh my God! I only wish that Travis could announce that.
So
like
Adam Schefter said this. He said, "Here's a fun draft nugget. Vita Vea's full name is this, and it's like an insane
it
name.
It won't fit on his jersey."
And I quote tweeted and I said, "Good luck," and I tagged Travis.
Good job, poor guy. Actually, I don't feel sorry for him. That was awful.
I love Travis. He's the man.
Yeah.
Was that the only other question?
Yeah, I mean, and he said, you know, the odds of pairing him up with one of those Georgia running backs. I mean, I think it just depends on who's going to be there. The thing is the Buccaneers have to find a running back. I mean, you guys keep saying Peyton Barber. If you get Quentin Nelson, he could be. I don't want a guy that can. Well, he could. Anybody could run behind this line. I want a guy who could run behind this line and be a superstar and make a difference. I want a guy who's a 1,400 yard.
They can't
rusher.
go back and draft Alvin Mark. It's not going to happen.
They can trade.
There's no time machine.
Okay, I just went on YouTube.
He just tore his ACL.
And I found out how to pronounce Mitch's name. Okay, I'm gonna play it here.
All right.
This is good radio.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
this
play
what,
it here.
This is what we call dead air in radio.
Yeah, hold on. You do it. Unrein.
There you go.
I'm going to go with Urine. I'm going to go like Mr. Unrein. I mean, Mr. Urine.
Urine.
He's gonna be like, it's not urine, dude.
If you say him, Urine, he'll remember you. He'll know who you are.
We'll leave that up to Ira. Ira likes to butcher those names.
Does he?
Yeah, he called Darrell Revis Daryl Revis. Hey, Daryl. It's a true story.
Daryl.
Our good friend Ira Kaufman. Another podcast war with our good friend Ira. Anyway, all right. Well, we had a great podcast, in my opinion. I always think that, though, because we're so humble here at Pewter Report. But anyway, we appreciate our new sponsor, T.A. Mahoney's. Go check them out over on AdamOTAMahoney's.com for all of your boating outdoor needs, from fishing equipment all the way down to getting your boat fixed, repaired, trailers, all of those things. They can handle it for you. Even if you don't have a boat, if you get an opportunity to stop by, just thank Mike and Matt for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. We would certainly appreciate that. 3 weeks until the draft. 3 weeks from this day until the draft. It's coming a lot faster. It can't come fast enough for some of us, but it's going to be here before you know it, and all the mystery will be gone. And then we can focus on what this team's going to do with the talent that they have acquired. You can go check out Pewter Report. Trevor has a great story up. His latest cover 3 takes a look at a guy that could be in the Bucs' future plans in Denzel Ward. Scott's got a new Fab 5 coming out on Friday. The mailbag is up. We've got a ton of other content, including getting stories up as soon as we find out that guys are in town for visits, those things. Check out our message boards as well. Follow us on Twitter at Pewter Report. Follow us on Instagram at Pewter Report. And follow us, where else can we be found? On Facebook at Pewter Report as well. For Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook saying we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Online. Out.